Well, I thought we were joining Jamie's cooking show. She's joining our sports show.
Coming up on WST Podcast, we have Jamie Sire, former Coug, ESPN sideline reporter, and now acclaimed food critic. Kay Wynn, what do we discuss?
Her days as a sideline reporter for the Golden State Warriors. She also covered the San Francisco Giants in exclusive interview with Tim Lincecum. There's also a battle of appetizers. Kay Wynn versus Big Ben. We auditioned to go onto the Food Network.
Jamie Sire, E is for Eats, sponsored by 80 Acres. WSD Podcast coming up right now.
Big Ben and I were going to try to cook some appetizers for you and have you judge.
Okay. You've been a judge on the Food Network. So imagine Kay Wynn and I are a griddle ready to go or a barbecue or whatever it may be, and we're going to cook you an appetizer. Okay. I'm going to describe mine, and then Kay Wynn will – actually, Kyle, I'll let you go first, and then I can build on that and make something better. But you will be the judge of what appetizer you would prefer.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so my pick is cowboy caviar. It's a dip. Only takes 20 minutes to make, but it's delicious. So you've got tomatoes, you've got beans, you've got avocados, you've got pinto beans as well. So what you want to do is you want to get this large pan. You want to put everything in here. Then you've got some olive oil. You've got some vinegar. You got to whisk it together. The key is the Tostitos chips. Not any chips. You got to get those scoop chips because you got to hold it. But also you got to dice up those tomatoes and onions real fine. The avocados, you got to keep it nice and chunky. And then at the end, you got to refrigerate it and toss it. And it's a great summer dish. I'm in LA. It's summer all year round. I'm going with cowboy caviar.
I love cowboy caviar. Actually, I have a recipe for it on my blog. I add corn, grilled corn, like cut off the cob into mine as well. So
good play. All right. I'm going to go a play on. Now, I believe everyone loves this. It's the... I'll just describe it to you. So Taco Bell has their, essentially you're taking a large tortilla and I'm going to put a little ground beef seasoned with your traditional taco seasoning as well as my own seasonings. And then you layer a little tostada, cover it with some beans. And then we're going to go traditional shredded lettuce, a little olives, and then probably some nice crema by 88 Acres that I'd use with this green goddess. And then we're going to do a little queso in it. So we're going to queso topping. We're actually going to fold that over and do a nice press on it and then cut it into slices. And we're going to complement that with what I call taking sour cream and salsa and mixing it together. It becomes phenomenal, a little cooling effect. So, you know, everyone loves finger foods. So it's kind of like a wheel, a pizza wheel. And much like you couldn't remember Beta Dog, I'm not going to be able to remember this item at
Crunch,
Taco Bell.
Is it a Crunchwrap Supreme?
Yes, it is. It's a Benwrap Supreme.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I'm bringing you the Benwrap Supreme.
I mean, that's a great choice as well, because I will say that, you know, if I'm going to go fast food, Taco Bell is definitely one of my like road trip stops of choice. Oh man, both of those sound really good. I don't. Do I have to choose?
You can call it a tie.
You can call it a tie.
Okay, we'll call it a tie. I do appreciate that you guys, you know, both went the, you know, the Mexican food route, and kind of appealed to my affinity to Mexican food and a nod to my time in San Diego. So both of them, I would eat both of them. Maybe you could even dip. Into the cowboy caviar, and then combined.
We could join forces.
There you go. New dish.
Jamie, fellow Merle grad, I'm going to start with this. Generally, I like to do research on people that we're bringing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back in the archives because I was at Theta Chi at WSU, and I believe. I don't know if we ran in the same circles with your sister, Heather, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I tried to find anything I could about you. And I went back to, like, you know, guys that were presidents 4 years before me. Nothing.
Okay. So really?
If you ever wanted to run for president, you easily could.
She scrubbed the internet clean.
I mean, luckily there wasn't a lot of internet stuff back then. So
Only the flip phone cameras. Jamie, E is for eats. Is that right?
E is for eat. Yep.
Awesome. So let's start with grew up or born in Great Falls?
I was born in Great Falls, Montana. Lived there up until I decided to go to Washington State my freshman year. So never look back. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, for people that have watched Yellowstone or like the show Yellowstone, is that an accurate depiction of Montana?
You know what? I know I have to be honest. I have not watched Yellowstone yet. I know a lot of people say it's awesome. I have not watched that yet. And I don't know how I'd feel about it because it is a little bit different when you watch things like that and you do know where they're based and the accuracies and the inaccuracies. So, but if you guys say it's a good show, maybe I'll check it out.
Put it.
I haven't watched it, but my parents are obsessed with it. That's like every time I call, they ask if I've started watching it, and I haven't yet.
I mean, I've been to Yellowstone Park, if that counts.
All right, so you went to Pullman. I got to ask, what was your favorite date dash or college event while you were in Pullman?
Oh my gosh, favorite date dash or college event. I mean, I always enjoyed like the raft trips. You know, my sorority always had one as part of, you know, rush at the end of recruitment, I guess they call it now. So that was always fun. Obviously the fraternities would have their versions of that, which included more alcohol or right. Actually just included alcohol. But I thought those were always fun. There was a couple of times where we did like a cruise around Lake Coeur d'Alene. So took like a bus up there and cruised around the lake for a little bit. But yeah, there was, I mean, you guys are bringing back some memories. I haven't thought about either of those things in a really long time, but no, it was a great 4 years in Pullman.
And then oddly enough, I went back to Riggins and they've said they have banned all sororities and fraternities from ever getting on the Snake River. So
really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised. I will say that when we always went there just as a sorority for kind of like a sisterhood event, it was very tame. I mean, there was zero alcohol. It was more of just like a bonding type trip, but not the case when it was a fraternity trip. So
you didn't contribute, but rather we'll blame the other fraternities.
Yeah, I just participated.
After the date dashes, give us, now E is for eats, so you got to go back and give us the top three places to eat on campus while in Pullman.
Oh, in Pullman.
Excluding KD's.
best places to eat in Pullman, I would definitely have to put Cella's at the top of the list. I mean, the breadsticks, the calzones, those were definitely memorable. And, you know, I haven't, unfortunately, been back a ton of times since I graduated. But I think every time I have been back, that is definitely like a must hit spot. I know, like, obviously, like, Cougar Country is a favorite as well. I didn't go there as much just because I didn't have a car until my senior year. But you know, you had to convince somebody to take you down there. So Cella's was a little bit easier to get to. And I would say for number three, I mean, like, what about, like, what was the name of like the place where you could get like the nachos, like kind of over by
was it called
like Nacho, like
Nacho Man maybe
or something like that, right? Like that, I want to say that it sounds like that's not right, but I'm totally blanking on it, but like I feel like they were open very, very late. I mean, I definitely had a lot of Pop John's because it was basically across the street from the sorority. But I wouldn't call that like a Pullman specific spot. But yeah, definitely Cella's and Cougar Country.
No Pita Pit, huh?
I mean, yes, Pita Pit. I feel like Pita Pit came on, like that definitely wasn't there the whole time I was there. I feel like that was like a later addition. Also not like a only Pullman thing. That was definitely for me a more of a late night thing for sure.
I don't think there was any traffic.
Beta Dog. That was the name of the place. Like where you obviously get like hot dogs too, but I feel like I always got like nachos or fries or something there. All right. I'm really glad I thought of that.
So Jamie, I've never been to Pullman, but everyone talks about Cougar cheese.
Yes.
What is your favorite? Is that your favorite flavor?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, honestly, I think that might be the only one I've ever had because it's the most famous and most popular. I currently have 2 cans of it in my fridge right now. So every time I like introduce people to Cougar Gold cheese, they're very confused and put off by the fact that it comes in a giant can. But I always assure them that it's, you know, it's just the way that they age it, and it's super delicious. And once they have it, they completely, you know, believe me. But yeah, I mean, have you had it?
I haven't. I need to get you to Pullman once all this COVID and the world
comes
back.
You can order it online, Kyle. So
wow, Ben, the holidays are coming up. Cool. Present for me.
Jamie, Kyle got stumped between Beecher's cheese and Cougar Gold. He thought Beecher's was Cougar Gold.
Oh.
Well, now, Beecher's, could you tell the difference?
I think I could tell the difference, only because I've had so much Cougar Gold, especially during quarantine. But I believe Beecher's was started by a Coug. Is that correct? So,
right. Oh, good.
So I think we still have some, well, obviously. Yeah. So we have some, there's some ties there to Beecher's, but definitely not the same thing as Cougar Gold.
We might need to see you make a Cougar Gold sandwich on Ease Eats.
Okay, Ease Free. Yeah. We've definitely used it in I've definitely used it in a couple of applications, maybe like mac and cheese, like a Cougar Gold mac and cheese. But yeah, it would be definitely a good addition to a sandwich as well.
The Sirewich. Okay, when we want to go to the Sirewich.
Sirewich, yes.
Sirewich. We want to go to San Diego?
So if we head south to San Diego, I believe you were down there like late 2000s, 2005, 2006 as a sports reporter, and you did some work for the Chargers. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I, my first job out of Washington State was just in my hometown, Great Falls. But then my second job was in San Diego. So I moved there, I believe in 2003, and I was there, I think, until like early 2008. So I had a good run down there. It was a great second job. It was probably, I had no business getting that job, to be honest, based on my experience at the time. But I was lucky that they were starting like a high school football show. So given that I looked like I was still in high school, I think it kind of worked out for me in my favor. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time in San Diego. I did some sidelines for the Chargers preseason games. So that was a lot of fun as well. But yeah, I definitely fond memories of San Diego. I still have a ton of friends down there. I, in normal times, try to get down that way at least, you know, like once a year, once every couple of years. But we'll see. I don't know the next time I'll be there.
So 2004, that's when Anchorman came out and Will Ferrell played. What do you miss the most about San Diego?
I miss the people. Like, I have a lot of great friends down there. But aside from that, I would say I miss the burritos. I think, like, best burritos. There's some good ones in San Francisco, but I feel like more consistently you can find them in San Diego. I miss the burritos. I miss the people. I miss the weather. I tell people all the time that it's basically not real life. Just because I feel like it's 70 degrees and sunny like every single day. It definitely holds a special place in my heart.
All right. So you talked about your favorite part of San Diego, weather, burritos. What was your favorite part in the movie Anchorman?
Oh, is that what the question was? And I just like totally went off the rails.
No, we didn't get to that part.
We wanted to ease into the question.
Okay.
Just in case you got a reaction like you hadn't seen Anchorman, I wanted to kind of tread lightly.
I went and saw it in the theaters when I was living down there. I've seen it several times. I mean, there's so many good parts, good lines. I mean, like, milk was a bad choice, I feel like, is a classic. I feel like the whole conversation about his dog pooping in the refrigerator and he's not even mad, he's impressed. I mean, I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but you know, still some classic lines.
Your Ron Burgundy quote arsenal is pretty strong.
So after San Diego, you headed up north where you did some work on Comcast Sports pre and post for the Giants. And that was during Tim Lincecum's prime, where he jumped on the scene and a couple Cy Youngs, and he was unbelievable. And the city loved him. I know I loved him because I was in San Francisco. What do you remember of the time when Tim came up and started to pitch at the same time you were covering the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, Tim and I always got along really great. I mean, I think we had, you know, we kind of had always like the back and forth, like the Cougs and Huskies type banter. So I think we kind of just had that, even though I'm not from Washington originally, I feel like going to school there and having so many ties to the area and obviously to the rivalry. So that was always like a fun little back and forth we would have a lot. And he was pretty private and like didn't like to like let people in a lot. I actually had an opportunity. I somehow convinced him to do like a special with us in the off season. I can't remember which year it was. But we basically got to go up to Seattle. He like kind of did like an MTV Cribs tour of his like condo apartment, yeah, like penthouse like place that he had there. We like went to, you know, some of his favorite, we went to like this teriyaki spot that I think he like from his hometown, like it was more of like a growing up like high school type place that he just like loved. So we went there. We did some other fun things. It was like, it was a really cool time because like I feel like I really got to know him a lot better, and we got to introduce all of the Giants fans to that as well. So but yeah, I mean, on the field he was unbelievable, and you know, just watching him basically dominate everyone like for most of the time that I was there was definitely very special.
Now, Jamie, I know Tim a little bit. I hung out with him when he was playing baseball at the U. Did he play you in FIFA?
No, he didn't. But when we were up there, he was playing. They were playing FIFA. Like, I think actually we have, like, that was part of the special as well. His really good friend, Drew, what's his last name? I'm forgetting. But, like, his best friend, and they were playing FIFA. So, like, that we actually like filmed part of that for the special, but I'm not a video game person really. So he wouldn't want to play me.
Ben, aren't you 1-0 against him in FIFA?
I am 1-0.
Really?
Actually, no. I beat him twice.
Brag there.
I beat him twice in Madden, then he got mad and switched to FIFA, and he crushed me. All right, Jamie. Then you were the sideline reporter for, I believe, the Warriors, A's, and some Sharks games.
Yes. Yeah. You guys did your homework. When I first got there, you know, the kind of the plan was to, I mean, launch what they have now, which is, you know, a full on, you know, regional sports network. But when I got there, it had just started the process of switching over from Fox Sports to Comcast Sports. And now it's NBC Sports. But so they didn't really have, they were a little behind on getting everything launched and put together. So they didn't really have a lot for me too, so they kind of just threw me on everything, which was a lot of fun. So yeah, I got to do a little bit of Warriors like halftime hits, and then that evolved into sidelines and kind of similar things with A's and Sharks until they fully launched you know, the news programs, mm-hmm, and talk shows and all that, which I was definitely more involved with doing, kind of splitting my time between the studio and the field once everything got up and running. But I think I pretty much covered, I think, every team in the Bay Area at some point in time, whether it was, you know, as a sideline reporter or just reporting or covering them for CSN.
Oh, so while you were with the Warriors, they started out, they were winning like 20 games, and they progressively got better and better while you were there. If we come full circle with this question, how would you compare the atmosphere at Oracle Arena to the atmosphere in Pullman during a Cougs big football game?
I mean, that's hard because I feel like when I was in Pullman, the team was still like working its way up. Like I was in this in-between time, right? Because like right before I got there was like the end of the Ryan Leaf era. And then I think my senior year, like, they lost, I want to say like at least 3 games in like overtime, and it might have even been more than that. So like football games were a ton of fun, but not necessarily like you know, a loud winning environment versus, you know, Oracle Arena was loud and the fans are very loyal. And especially like once they started to, you know, pick up steam and get even better. But even when they weren't, like, it, that's like a very loud arena for sure. I think, you know, if I had gone back to Pullman more times, you know, post graduation, it might have been a little bit different. But I do remember going back actually for homecoming, right, like the year after I graduated. So I think it would have been fall of 2002, and I believe they beat USC in overtime, and everybody like rushed the field. So that specific game was like very memorable. Obviously, I wish I could have been there for game day, visiting there finally. Of course, it wasn't while I was still at ESPN, which I was super bummed about. But yeah. So I don't know if that's I don't know if I have the best.
Jamie, you could you could have easily said, "Listen, I went until halftime until my buzz wore off, and then I left." Like, that's what we all did during like the losing times.
Yeah, exactly, and especially because I did go through a little bit of a period where I would get there like super early so I could be in the front row with like a bunch of my friends. So yeah, definitely by halftime it emptied out a little bit.
What's your fondest memory of Oracle for those Bay Area listeners that, you know, we're sorry to see the Warriors go to Chase? What was your favorite moment?
That's a good question. I would have to think about that. I also have a terrible memory. I'm trying to think if I have
most
like
Cougs do. Most Cougs,
yeah,
do.
the hazard of going right there. But no, I mean, I think overall, just remembering, again, that atmosphere, I think it's definitely it was a special place to play. Not personally, but for the players and being there, I think, you know, at the very beginning of Steph Curry's career, and Klay Thompson's as well, to bring it all back to the Cougs. But I think that was really cool as well, especially, you know, even though I, you know, moved on from doing sidelines and then eventually moved on to ESPN, just to kind of have been there when they were first starting out and then seeing where their career has taken them, I think is really neat.
So, Jamie, I had an opportunity to get Klay on this podcast and I blew it.
Oh no, what happened?
So I'm out to breakfast. I live down in LA by the beach, and there's this guy sitting next to me. I'm like, how do I know this guy? I don't think anything. He's got a mask on. I got a mask on. He gets up and leaves. I'm like, that was Klay Thompson. Ben would have loved it if I had at least had enough to die. So I just said, hey, Klay, good luck this season. And then Jamie, Ben didn't talk to me for like 2 weeks.
Jamie, it's you or I. What do you say? If he jumps up and you're like, what's the first thing you say to a Coug? Just go Cougs.
Go Cougs. That's all you have to say.
That's all you have to say, right? That's like, hi, hello, my name is, if you're from Pullman. So yeah, you failed there.
The worst is when you yell go Cougs at someone that's like wearing a Coug hat, but then you realize like they're just wearing the hat, like somebody gave it to them or something, and they're like looking at you very confused. But yes, usually it's an immediate go Cougs return back. So like, you can never go wrong with that.
So Jamie, let's transition to your current career in food, which you've made an amazing transition, I would say, going from sports to food. Everyone loves food. So appeal to the masses. We're going to call it, I guess, S is for sports, and we're going to eat our way through sports with WST. So everyone may remember you from your sports broadcasting, but now you're on the Food Network. You have a blog, your new venture. You, on your old blog, you state that you're always planning your next meal. Can you give us a preview, potentially, what we'll see in the coming months in your blog?
Well, today we've been working on a short rib taco recipe. So I've tested it a number of times, and I finally decided that It's a recipe that I make quite a bit, but I have never actually put it on the blog for some reason. So, I would not even in the coming months, like hopefully you'll see that in the coming weeks as well.
I'm going to give a quick plug here.
Okay.
Jamie, we are sponsored by a company called 88 Acres.
What is it?
88 Acres. It's a seed company. So quick plug for them. They sponsor us in the way of they just send us stuff like this. And this is sunflower, dark chocolate, sunflower seed butter. Cool. And then they have all natural. So I would be remiss to our sponsor if I didn't mention these products to you. So 88 Acres. If
all you right, ever I'll want to check them out. Them,
yeah, it's really good. It's I wanted to say hypoallergenic, but that's not right. no allergies. So it's no peanuts, all natural.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Good plug.
Sounds that's awesome.
Our segment. That's our commercial.
So you talk about planning your next meal, but also planning your next vacation. So since we're in COVID, vacations have been pretty slim. But can you think back to a time where you had a vacation and it inspired a choice for food that ended up on your blog?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like that happens most times that I travel. I'm trying to think. I mean, the last trip that we took before COVID was to the Dominican Republic. So I don't know if I did anything from that trip, but you know, definitely after going to Peru, I added a ceviche recipe to my blog. After being in Thailand, it was kind of like a healthy twist on the cashew chicken that I had learned to make there. I actually love to take cooking classes when I'm traveling as well. So, I've done that in Thailand and Peru, where else in France. So like, that's kind of one of the things like more recently in the last couple of years that I've really started to kind of try to seek out if possible, because, I don't know. I think it's just a super interesting way to not only learn about the cuisine there, but kind of like the history of it. And it's one of my favorite things to do when I travel.
Awesome. All right, Jamie, we're going to go a little rapid fire for the last 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
So what is your favorite in-stadium snack?
In-stadium snack.
Or food. You can say foot long and we'll consider that a snack too.
No, I mean, I don't know. I always am just like a sucker for nachos for some reason. I know processed cheese is not real cheese, but you know, I love me a good, you know, big carton of nachos with like tons of jalapenos and whatever else comes with it. But I would say that's definitely a go-to at any stadium. I know like the stadium food has become more, I guess, elevated, sophisticated at a lot of stadiums, and you get kind of more of a local flair. But if we're talking just like straight up stadium food, that's definitely one of them.
You need to make it back to Safeco or T-Mobile Park because they have helmet nachos in which they take Beechers, melt it down, so it's actually the cheese that they use on top of Winita's chips, if you're familiar. And then they give you your jalapenos. So
That sounds amazing.
Rather than the processed cheese, they might press down.
I mean, I'm fine with that as well. I mean, I'm fine with obviously both, but yeah.
So Jamie, if you were coming to a WST Super Bowl party, what would you cook and bring as an appetizer?
Oh, I mean, I have to pick just one. Like I definitely would have to bring a few. But I mean, I think
top three
invites in the mail, Jamie.
I would say, I mean, it's like a super simple recipe. It is on my blog, but my dad used to make like jalapeno poppers, and it's really simple. It's literally just like jalapenos, you know, hollowed out and stuffed with cream cheese and wrapped in bacon. And then I've been kind of doing shortcuts and using them in the air fryer. They actually like crisp up really well and cook a lot faster in there. They're super simple, but they are always like a crowd pleaser for sure. I think, you know, wings, you can't have a Super Bowl party without wings of some sort. I've got like a miso honey sriracha recipe for wings on my blog. That's really good as well. And then, I mean, I think pigs in blankets are like always, like those are always one of the ones to go first. But I also like to roll them in everything bagel seasoning just to give a little bit something different.
Plugged to Trader Joe's right there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like with, you know, that kind of food, simple is best and, you know, stick with the classics that everybody loves. Maybe like, you know, have one that's a little bit different, but for the most part, just go with what everybody likes.
All right, Jamie, three last questions. These are from my wife. She's very interested in your blog.
Okay.
And so one you already touched on, but I want you to call out a particular food or item. What's your trashy food guilty pleasure?
I guess like, Taco Bell, like that would probably be, I mean, I don't eat that regularly. It's definitely kind of just like reserved for road trips, but. Like,
what's your order?
Cheesecake. It's like the most boring Taco Bell order of all time. It is a cheese quesadilla with no jalapeno sauce because they didn't always put jalapeno sauce on it. And then they started adding that in. I wasn't a fan. So I just wanted just the cheese. And then a bean and cheese burrito with no onions and no red sauce. And I don't know why. Because like, I think when I first started eating them, I didn't like onions. So even though now that I do, I still, it's like, I guess it's a nostalgia thing. Like I just have to have it like the same way I guess I used to order it in high school. And then a ton of like hot sauce packets.
You know you're a Taco Bell aficionado if you know there was jalapeno sauce in the quesadilla. The fact that you always put too much red sauce in the bean burrito and you just want to be able to put your own in there.
I know. You just want to be able to control the sauce.
All right. Next question. And it can be the same answer. What's your death row meal?
Death row meal is a carne asada burrito from pretty much, I mean, it could be from anywhere in San Diego. They're all, I feel like, again, like kind of going back to our earlier conversation about San Diego and missing the burritos down there. So I always say that that's my deathbed meal because, you know, you've got the steak, you've got rice and beans, and it has to have like a really good hot sauce. I will say the hot sauce quality varied from taco shop to taco shop, but that is still one thing. Like every time I visit, I have to get one before I leave.
My girlfriend's from San Diego and she talks about the burritos, but also the breakfast burritos. That's all she talks about from San Diego.
Breakfast burritos are also really good as well. So either one, I'll say either one, but I always say carne asada. Just cause.
You can have both. That's your death row meal.
There'll sure, that's true.
All right, last question, then we'll wrap up. What makes a good burger?
Well, it just totally depends on what kind of burger you're talking about. But I'd say first and foremost, the meat quality is the most important thing. Meat and bun. So, I mean, I grew up on a cattle farm in Montana, so I'm very big proponent of, you know, grass-fed, pasture-raised, corn-finished beef and really supporting a lot of those smaller farms. It definitely tastes better than mass produced beef. So I think that's number one. And you know, like I like a good just Martin's potato roll bun. I've been really into smash burgers lately, which like is a whole process of, you know, like thinly sliced onions and kind of like smashing them into the beef and frying them that way. And I'm totally fine with just American cheese on my burger. And you know, you can get fancy, but at the end of the day, it melts the best and it doesn't really like, it doesn't fight with the other flavors too much. It's just like kind of that mild, perfect flavor that complements the meat.
What's the condiments?
This may be
the most important part for most.
Pickles, ketchup, mustard, maybe burger sauce if there's some available, but.
Is burger sauce a direct iteration of fry sauce?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in the same family for sure. So some mixture of mayonnaise and ketchup and pickle juice and, you know, some other things.
All right, Jamie, do you want to tell our fans where they can find you online, read about your blog, hear more about what you're doing and what's coming up next?
Yeah, sure. My blog is just eisforeat.com. So that it has everything on there, everything from, you know, my first blog post back in 2011, which don't judge my writing and photography way back then. Hopefully it's come a long way since then, but, don't update it as much as I used to, but still, working on recipes for it and trying to be a little bit better about that. But eisforeat.com, you can find all of my recipes or at least most of them on there. And then, I guess social media. So Twitter, it's just Jamie, J-A-Y-M-E-E. I've got the one name Twitter handle, which is pretty exciting. And then Instagram is just my full name, Jamie Sire. So I feel like that's where you can catch up with most of my happenings. And yeah, come check me out.
Jamie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. Go Cougs.